Mangwane mpelegele ngwana yo ke ya lemba ke lemba ke le nosi Mangwane mpelegele ngwana yo ke ya lemba ke lemba ke le nosi.
Welcome to another episode of Coffee Conversations with myself, Vivian Chweni, a podcast where we sit down and have coffee with your favorite musicians. This is where we unpack the story behind the music, where conversations really becomes connection. And I'm really, really excited about the guest that we have for you on this episode. She is a powerhouse. She's a singer. She's a songwriter. She's an arranger. She's a musical director. She is one of those musicians that you have to experience in your life. And for many, she is known as the bass queen. Please help me welcome Austebza.
Austebza! Oh my God, welcome to Coffee Conversations.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So excited. Thank you for honoring this invite. Thank you for, you know, coming to have a coffee and a conversation with me. I was just saying before we started that when I saw you at KB's show, you were the musical director for the show, and what an exceptional job you did.
Thank you so much.
But before that, as I was, you know, doing my planning for this conversation, I came across an article or an interview, a written interview that introduces you. And in the intro, the writer says, this is one of those musicians who are outstanding. And it's not because they are the loudest in the room or in the musical spaces, but it is because they are outstanding at what they do. And I think that captures you so beautifully as a person. So I think let's go back right to the beginning. It seems to me that music is innate, right? From a very early age, as an infant, you were already responding to music. Can you paint a picture for us, you know, of Austebza in her formative years discovering this music, what that looked like for you?
Wow. Thank you so much, first of all, Viv, for inviting me. I'm excited.
Yeah.
My journey is quite interesting because when I started, I believe also my parents were not even sure what was happening, because I was doing something that nobody could recognize, but they could see and feel the joy that it brought me.
Wow.
So the stories, because now there are stories, and they tell me, my parents, that Teboho, your smile and how you would respond to a song playing on the radio and on TV, it was just heightened. It was just, you were hyper, like it would give you this energy that we were like, okay, what is happening? But I guess also because, you know, black families back then, you know, they are just trying to work and bring food home. They are not really paying attention, you know, to this art, you know, in this little girl. But they continue to say, because now my parents were working at Sun City, they were like, your aunt would come with you, and everybody would be drawn to you. It's like people would just want to walk around with you, give you money. There'd be acts that would be staging at the Super Bowl there at Sun City. And they were talking the likes of your Freddie Mercury. I mean, my dad, when he tells me this one, I was like, there's no way. It's like, Teboho, you would get on those stages while they're rehearsing. And I was like, oh, so I have been on stages.
My goodness. You were from an early
years, you know. And then I recognized it when I was in primary. I would be that girl with the music book. I'd be that girl that everybody comes to for lyrics, for the in songs. And back then, I mean, R&B and hip hop was everything. And coming from the Northwest province, which was the Buputatswana back then, we had your Mabatu and Pop TV and R&B and hip hop, especially American R&B and hip hop was everything, you know. So I was that girl who was always surrounded by music, but only when I was in my space, not at home.
Yeah,
I don't come from a musical family, both maternal and paternal.
Wow,
they're looking at me like Ngwanyana Gwen, you know, but they supported it. I think the fact that they did not stop me or speak something negative about this love, you know, and passion that I had for music, it is what set me up for the outsteps that we know now.
Oh,
I remember at 15, I went to Mabana Cultural Center. I went to the music department because I felt like I was ready to get a band to back me up because I was already writing.
Wow.
At 15. And the music manager was like, wow, your confidence at 15 and wow. But that was the beginning because I left Mabana being a lead singer of a band at 15.
Wow.
And obviously they had to go to my family, you know, to ask, can we perform with her? Because I was at 15, I was doing grade 12. And then they had to ask, you know, that can I?
Permission, of course.
Yes. And my mom was like, as long as, you know, she passes her matric. So
I think the most fascinating thing for me is the fact that you weren't, your immediate surroundings were not musical, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't come from a musical family, but I got exposed to the storyteller that you are. I got to know you as a songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people have always known you as Oustebza, the bass queen.
Yeah.
We know you from, you know, playing the bass.
Yes.
But when I got to know you as a storyteller and a songwriter, I thought to myself, oh my God, I can immediately pick up the, you know, the traditional and African influences that are coming through. Like it's very rooted in Africanism. But I want us to go back to you as a songwriter and discovering that, oh, you know what? I can actually do this.
You know, we are a result of our surroundings and what we listen to. When I first started writing music, it was, I used to be in a hip hop. Please do not ask me. They used to call me Rainbow. So, because of where I come from, you know, hip hop and R&B, like I said, was big. Hence the Motswako movement also, if you think about it. So I used to be part of a hip hop group, but never really went anywhere. It was, you know, those local ones where you go to local shows, events, schools, concerts. I'd be that girl and I would write hooks and I would also try to write my own verse. You know, but I did not pay attention to that for a long time until I could not go to school. My parents could not afford to pay for my fees. I remember I enrolled at Boston. I was meant to study journalism. You know, after 6 months, I had to go back home. And then I was like, Deboho, what are you going to do with your life? And just like that, a light bulb moment, I was like, ah, girl, you are passionate about music. How about you focus on that? Because it also makes you feel good.
Yes.
So then I decided there's no money. You love music. You're passionate. Give it a try. And then I decided I don't want to only sing because I'm already writing. I would love to know more about music. Maybe let me learn an instrument. And I picked up the acoustic guitar before the bass.
No.
I promise you. Then 3 weeks into the program, I'm like, I think I want to start a band. I only knew how to play a major scale, a C major scale and a G major scale. And I was like, I'm ready to start a band.
No ways. All steps.
I did that. I did that. So there was nobody playing the bass. And I was not even familiar with different instruments. I was just learning. And I'm like, oh, but it looks like the guitar. So then I was like, okay, string, yeah. They're like, but the guitar has the B, the bass. I'm like, but can I play the C major scale on this one? They're like, yeah. I was like, okay, let's go. That's how I'm playing
it's
bass.
So hard to believe
I know
that that's how you picked up the bass.
That's how I'm playing
and
the bass.
I'm sure, I'm pretty sure everywhere you go, they're like, no,
yeah,
can't be.
Then from there, I now got introduced to bass players. I started asking. And personally, I loved the R&B. But the more I learned about music and instruments, I was drawn into the African sounds because I understood the importance of telling your story. And I'm an African. You know, I'm a woman. I am playing an instrument that is not seen, you know, all the time, being played by women. And I needed to stay true to, and I needed to stay true to who I am, tell my story as a Black female African playing an instrument and also who sings. And then my sound slowly started changing and I'm embracing it. You know, here and there you'll hear a song or two that is in another language, but I predominantly do it in Setswana.
I love that.
This is important because if we don't tell our stories with our languages as well, they will be forgotten. We need to document who we are and with our languages as well, because the way the world is moving, you know, some things are going to fall off. And if it's going to be our languages, then who are we?
Yes. Speaking of your songs, so in 2016, you released your debut album, Make a Difference. Yeah. And I think listening to your music now, I can definitely pick up the growth and the progression from the first album to your latest single, but also I got to hear your music first, so we'll get into that as well, into some of the songs that really you know, stood out for me. But let's talk a little bit about Make a Difference. You say in Make a Difference that you don't want to be just a girl with a pretty face. You know, you want to be that woman who makes an impact, who tells a story. And I think from a sound perspective, you start off with, you know, Arieng is a very groovy, jazzy, but I'm also picking up very neo-soul influences. Yes. It's a sonic experience.
Yes.
But it also feels like you were experimenting with your sound. Mm-hmm. And then when you go into your second album, Motewo, which we'll get into, this is where you are now a little bit more comfortable, you know, as a storyteller, also as an instrumentalist. So let's focus first on Make a Difference, and then we'll talk Motewo.
Yes.
But what was, you know, the inspiration behind Make a Difference, and from an influence perspective, you know, where were you picking up those influences, and how it came about, really?
Okay, you are absolutely correct. You know, sonically, it is everywhere.
Yeah.
It is taking us on a journey. And I was introducing myself as a bass player, a singer-songwriter who has worked with different musicians. So the inspiration comes from that background of a lot of people knew me as, they said I was a hip-hop bass player.
Yeah.
You know?
We'll get into that later.
You know, and then I got to work with, you know, traditional musicians who do traditional sounds. I got to work with a little bit of gospel musicians, you know, not too much into that, because I think you just need grace for me to be in that scene. So I was just trying to say, I'm this girl who really wants to showcase who they are, you know, that they are everywhere. They are, what makes them is a little bit of every experience from every walk of life that she has been part of. So hence you even get a song like Ntswarele. You know, Ntswarele is so in your soul, and then it changes into this reggae groove and you're like, what is happening here? You get this Lift His Name High, the gospel song.
That was my next one.
So I was just showcasing myself to say, hi, there's somebody like this. Hi, do you see me? Hi, hello, hello. It was a Dumelang moment. The album was a Dumelang moment for me. And people were like, who are you? Wow. Where do you come from? And how do we access you? Because a lot of people thought I was inaccessible. I don't know how. I cannot even tell you how they thought that, but that's what they thought. And I think that sort of like put me in a position where people would be like, okay, because you are such, you are versatile. Mm. You are not based on one sound.
Yeah,
you know, you like experimenting. Okay, let's see how far you can take this. So it was like a test also. Not only for myself, but also for the audience to see, is this possible? Can you stop a bit? I just want my...
Oh, yes, I see your eyes turn up. Can we?
My... Yeah. Oh, sorry. Sorry, guys. Yeah.
Linda, I've got...
Ish, when I'm out of aga. Yeah. The glasses kit. Come on. Sorry. We like us are looking at the appointment, yeah, doctor. Okay. Actually, I do have a special kind of tissue that I use. Yeah. When I get it.
Yeah. No. Oh my God! I can't believe we are the same people. Like, but mine is my left eye.
Next one.
Oh no!
Yeah, my eyesight is terrible.
And every single day, literally, when it's windy, it's worse.
That's why I'm always in glasses.
And I actually wanted to take mine off, but the same thing was going to happen. So,
character colors.
Oh, it's a thing. Hey, maybe I should also get mine checked.
You should. I'm seeing a specialist. He's one of the best that we have in the country.
Because it's that severe. Mine is that severe. If I take out my contact lenses, I'm blind. I can't do anything. I can't see.
No, I can't even wear contacts. At least don't I?
Yeah, for me, so I can't wear glasses. It has to be contact.
Guys, how? These problems.
Guys, if you don't have eye problems, you must do Joyce.
No, hey, honestly.
You, because this, it will test you.
Honestly.
Like, am I good?
Let's see. Yes. I hope yes, good. You're good. Right. I think no,
it's fine.
Is it too much light? Maybe
no. This like no. I would tell you, my eyes cannot take a look. Like I will tell you, I'll be like, okay. Let's do something. Yeah, no. This is perfect. Okay. Ask kiss.
All right, so we're on Make a Difference.
Yes, we were on the songs. I know where we were.
Just see our action, and then you can resume.
Okay.
Then
I think I still have my trade. Still there.
Ready? Make a difference.
Yeah. So that was my introduction. Like, okay, choose what you like about this girl who's a bass player. Because also I was coming into the scene where there are no blueprints for somebody like me. I'm still in the process of creating that blueprint that I hope that someday, you know, the girls that will be coming after me, the women also, that will pick up their bass in their older age, you know, they can say, oh, there was a lady called Austebza. Now we know what to do. Because right now I am discovering things. I am putting processes and systems in place without knowing what's going on, you know. So a lot of grace, you know, is required with what I do. And I believe people can see the progress now, but hey,
yes,
yeah, it's been a journey. Yes,
and you really, really do it with so much grace. And
thank you so much.
Honestly, for when I speak for myself, when I say I can't thank you enough for being that black woman.
Sure.
For being the black woman who says it is possible. You can stand on these stages. You can be who you want to be. You can take this path. And that brings me to your sophomore album, Motewa, which was released in 2021. And I think when I listened to Motewa, for me, now you've grown. Yeah.
Yes.
You've grown. Yeah. Definitely from a musical perspective, I can tell that, all right, she is now more confident and comfortable, even as, and you know, we don't talk about it enough. Not everybody can be a singer, songwriter, and a bassist at the same time.
Yes.
But you do it so effortlessly. But I was wondering, because Motewa is in Setswana,
yes.
Right? I think there's one Zulu
yeah.
song, but it's predominantly mm-hmm. in Setswana. Mm-hmm. And there, that is where the Tswana folklore, the storytelling mm-hmm. is quite prevalent. It's,
yeah.
it's coming through mm-hmm. strongly,
yeah.
but also the jazziness. Mm-hmm. You know, of yeah. how you approach
yeah.
the music is also quite prevalent. But can you tell us about that process a little
yeah.
bit more, you know, of, you know, even the titling of the album, Motheo is Foundation,
yeah.
You know, in Setswana, yeah. like
yes.
just from the titling to how these songs came about. In your performance, I think I'll save this one for later, but let's talk about okay. Motheo. Yeah.
All right. So 2017, my nephew was born. Oh, I think he's the love of my life. Oh,
love it.
And his name is Motheo. So that cool. sort of like was just, you know, a given title. You know, we were welcoming this being love into that. Our family, this life, this excitement. And I decided to dedicate that album to him and my mother, who happened to pass on
yes.
22, beginning of 2021. Just a day, my mother passed on a day after I received my master's.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember we were celebrating. That's during, amazing. It's okay.
Oh, it's like, man.
It's okay.
Yeah.
We celebrated and we're like, oh, COVID, we can't even go and celebrate. So we're at home and we're just happy playing the album. And my mother spoke such great blessings. You know, the last conversation I had with my mother was amazing. Amazing.
I love that.
So, she gave me a huge blessing, mm-hmm. you know, regarding the album mm-hmm. and also my journey as a musician, because she was always worried about me. You know, it's one thing that I know it did a little scratching at the back of yes. her heart. Hore, ishi ngwana ke wa artist wa kere ra itshokolla di artist. You know, you work, but you still call. Hi, I can just help you. You're closer. How? OC? Mar no perform uno pala mese for fine mus lingling. And you know, you're like, guys, you don't understand. That's not how it works. So I know that I'm that child. I'm her firstborn, but I was that child. Because hey, dikatara, madikatara,
madikatara.
You know. So now the album came at the time when I was also grieving. You know, excited, but also I'm grieving.
Ish.
And the reason why I decided to make the tempo of Mangwane a beat. I was trying to make myself feel good at that moment. That is why when I was performing, not going, you know, to the new music, I decided that this is how I actually feel and felt, you know. And that is why also after that performance, after that song, people are like, Teboho, you messed us up.
Yeah.
I was like, I know. That's why I purposefully not recorded that way, because, yeah, it was still hurting.
Oh, man.
It was still hurting then. So the album was more about also healing. It was also about, you know, welcoming. So it welcoming of, you know, of death, you know, because we have to also welcome death. It's part of life. And the album also taught me the importance of staying true to who you are. Because some of the songs in there were songs that were written 20 years prior. But the message they carry, I was like, I need to bring them into 2021 because we need to hear songs that speak about women being at the forefront of families.
Yeah.
We don't hear music like that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, we need to hear music that says, but you made a promise as a man, but you're not keeping it. You know, maybe, you know, I'm doing it in a very nice way when you're listening to the music.
Yes.
But that element also, it says, because I'm musical, I'm a musician. So I'm going to render this message, you know, with this gift of introducing it in a very musical way. When you're listening to a song and you're like, wow, but the music, it's like it's saying something else, but the lyrics are saying, I'm like, but that's art.
That's it. Yes,
that's the art. That's the art. So the album was more about that, bringing up issues that are about fixing the society. Because we have, I mean, Lipirimile speaks about the dilapidating structures of families where men leave, you know, to say, hey, we're going to look for work, you know, we want to bring the gold and the bacon home, but they never come back. Now women have to be the mothers, the fathers, the sisters, the brothers, the uncles, the friends, the providers, everything. Carrying everything, and nobody wants to talk about that. But people are quick to talk about how women, they want this from men. Have you ever thought why women want things from men? Because men are not holding their positions. So I like music that carry message and message that is of now, that is current, that is happening now.
Yes.
You know, so that album was more about that. That album was introducing Teboho, who's a Motswana girl who appreciates where they come from, her experiences, and also recognizing that we are all going through the same things as women all around. Be it black, white, red, green, we carry the same heart.
Sure.
We carry the same heart. So
we really do.
That's the album Mateo. But and let me know.
And what a beautiful album.
It is.
A beautiful album that takes you on this journey of storytelling, but also that, you know, that jazzy feel. You feel good. Yeah. You're addressing real issues in such a beautiful way.
Yes.
Thank modestly, you for that. Like, very woman-like.
Yeah, like it's very prim and proper.
Now my eyes, the one tearing up.
Ah, wow. Just cannot believe I met somebody who's like me. Please get tissues like this, ne? Get these tissues, ne? These, they're made out of bamboo.
Where can I get them?
I'll give you one.
Okay.
I'll give you
thank one, you. Yes, so I can.
Because they don't leave residue or anything. They're good.
Yes.
Yes.
These sensitive eyes, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Wow. I'm loving this conversation. Oh, it's pissing me. Okay. Should I continue? All right. So when you were performing Mangwane, you just spoke about it. And I felt that the depth that you carried with that song. You spoke about, you know, how at the time you felt like you were just a girl that needed nurturing from your mother. You know, and you released the single itself in 2024. This is post your mom's passing. But can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, the song in itself? You were going through this moment of grief, you know. The crazy thing about grief is that it never ever leaves you. You just have to learn how to navigate and live with it, you know. And I can't imagine it having been your mom. Like, now you're penning this song, but you have this feeling that you need, it's almost like an urgent feeling that you needed to get out there.
Yeah.
But it was also part of your healing process. So can we talk, just let's touch a little bit more on that song.
So, like I mentioned, it's very important that we write from a place of truth because that's how we get to heal ourselves and heal other people. And I needed to share how I was feeling at that moment because I was in tatters. I was all over the place. It's just that, you know, God made us in a way that you can't tell when somebody is broken unless the person tells you.
Ish.
I wanted to tell it through a song, but also I didn't want to tell it through a song by saying a lot of words. I believe in songs that do not carry a lot of words, because the less you write, I think the more impactful the words become. That's me. That's how I that's how I receive it. And but this melody, it could not leave me. You know, when you're feeling there's a melody that you're always humming. That hit me. That hit me. That now you need to figure out things. And it's not only figuring them out for yourself, but for the ones that are now looking at you, because you are the elders. You know how we are, Africans. Now you're the mother.
Everything is now.
Everything shifts now. Everything is on you. And I felt like, who's carrying, who's going to catch me? Who's going to be my anchor now? You need that. You need that. And the only place and the only way that I knew could give me comfort was my craft, was my music. Cool. And when that melody kept playing in my head, Mangwane, like I was explaining, the context, because those that were supposed to be there were not there. And now I was left to figure things out. And you have this burden that you are carrying that you need help with. So now, where do you get this help? And then that's how the song came about. Oh, kelema, kelosi.
Man. And I think what is interesting about that song in itself is you are going through this process of grief and you're putting it out there. But to someone else listening from a different perspective, like you're saying, you're so melodic.
Yeah.
The melody gives you, folklore, sana storytelling. But
I feel this, good.
But for you, yes, it's very
feel good. But when you listen to the word, to the wording, it changes that. Now you're like, I feel good, but also sad at the same time.
At the same time. I remember when you did that song. And when you, and I love that you tell stories, as you take us through those, the performance in itself, because then we have context.
Understanding.
Context is important.
Context, especially with African languages, context is everything. It's everything, because one thing can mean five different things.
Exactly like Mangwane.
Like Mangwane, exactly.
Like you said, you know, depending on the context, it could mean it's your aunt.
Your aunt or your,
your mother.
Your mother,
And, man, what a story. What a beautiful, beautiful story. But speaking of melodies, and I've, we've seen you. You're so melodic in your, in your approach, in your, in your writing, in your playing of the bass. I was wondering, as melodic as you are, you came on that stage to perform that evening, and you spoke about having received a song through a dream. And I want you to just, delve deeper into, that process in itself, where you receive songs in a dream. And you said, I woke up and I was like, okay. And you remember it. You remembered it when you woke up.
I did.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So the processes of writing are different. And I'm sure even with people that write books, that write films, plays, you are a vessel, you are a vessel, and vessels get used differently. You can either store or you can be used to dispose. You can a lot of things, so for me, I do have moments where I intentionally write because I'm like, okay, I need to work. Okay. How about I construct a song or a melody? But then there are those songs where they come because they are meant to be told. And those ones, they will keep you up. That song is called Liberty. I think it was around just after midnight. And I could feel myself that, listen, Teboho, you are about to fall asleep. But this melody, and then I just took my phone and I was like, I started humming. I was like, Teboho, don't forget this song. Don't forget this. And when I went, the following day I was going to a rehearsal. And then the first thing we did, I was like, guys, before we even go anywhere else, there's a song that we need to start. And after that rehearsal, everybody was like, there's something about this song. What is happening here? We all felt it. We all felt it. And I was like, okay, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I believe that song is meant to free us from the clutches of wanting to be in charge of so many things. Mm. Because when you listen to the song, it just, it makes you loosen up. Mm. It, you know, very soon people, very soon people will know what I'm talking about. And that is why we write music. We write music because we want people to connect and also to disconnect. Because sometimes we get connected to wrong things. Mm. So music can help you to disconnect or connect or make you think, give you a better view of the world, of your situation, whatever it is. Makes you feel good, makes you feel bad. Mm. But that particular song is going to free us. Because it freed me.
Wow.
We could not, we started with the song, we went into other songs. We're like, can we go back before the lunch? Then we were like, oh, we're like, wow, yes. Beautiful, beautiful melody. So it's the new music that's coming in the new album.
Listen, you then started, and I picked it up immediately. You started off with a prayer, you said.
Yes.
It's Tebogo's prayer.
Yes.
And it was, it almost felt like going into this place where nothing matters. It's just you and spirit. And there were no vocals at this point. You were not singing. You were just softly playing the bass and the band followed suit. Can you tell us about that? Because that moment for me, it was such a brilliant opening of your show. Because I picked it up and I was like, oh, that's a prayer. Yes. And then when you introduced it, I was like, yes. It's definitely a prayer.
Yes. Very important that we acknowledge also.
Oh, yes.
We must acknowledge the powers.
Mm.
We must acknowledge what we believe in, where our faith stems from.
Mm.
You know, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. That's my choice of faith.
Mm.
And everybody is, you know, entitled to their own.
Yes.
And I knew that being on that stage was such a privilege based on what I had experienced before. That was my first performance after 2 years of saying, no, I don't want to do this anymore. So I think it was 2.5 years. I've never done any solo shows. So everything that I had done prior, it was based on bookings. Somebody books, okay, you go make money. But I never poured myself
as
Austabza for over 2 years because I was depleted. Whew. I felt like I cannot do this anymore. I did not want to do it anymore. Sometimes when I think about it, it's still, you know, it gives me that. Mm. Being a creative is not easy. And I guess also when you do it, so, you know, swiftly, it's almost as if like it's second nature. You know, a lot of people don't understand when you say, but I struggle or I've been struggling.
Because you're so graceful.
Yes, because when you step into it, that falls away. So nobody can tell that this person is going through something because now I'm also embodying Tebogo, who is a healer. Because these platforms are bigger than who we are.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's not about Tebogo, who's talented, who knows how to play bass, who writes songs. No, there's a reason why I do it. That is what's more important. And when I'm in that space, now I'm this healer. I even forget that I even have my own little problems. So when you even tell somebody that I was not in a good space, they're like, what do you mean? Because you healed me. So we do it for those reasons. And I had decided I wanted to stop. To a point where I wanted to stop being a musician.
No.
Yes. Yes. I remember having this conversation with my close, you know, family and friends. And they're like, but that's your gift. I have this one for Sharon. Yeah. Sharon wants love. It's like, but that's your gift. What do you mean? I'm like, I'm tired. My spirit is tired.
Sure.
But then that was a moment where there was a shift.
Mm.
And also getting to understand that we get tired because we take so much, you know, that we are not even supposed to take on. You know, we get tired because you are such a perfectionist, Tebogo, and you're thinking if things don't happen the way you want them, it means they are not good enough. You know, so I had to recognize that it's okay if it didn't happen the way you wanted to. It's okay. You know, if it's been presented differently, receive it, you know, and welcome it. It's okay. So, yeah, I'm that kind of a person. And I felt like I had been doing this for so long. I had done, you know how social media reminds you that, oh, 5 years ago, when it reminded me of 12 years ago with my first single, I think I looked at it and I'm like, I'm tired. I was like, I'm tired. And there was a moment where now I needed now to shift. I'm either going to give into that or I'm going to see it as an opportunity now to level up. You know, because now you're being reminded that you've been doing this. So what are you saying? Do you want to do it the same way? Do you want to change the pace? What is it? What's happening here? But I felt like I wanted to leave it. But God being God, no, he will always, you know, give you that nudge to say, no, no, no. Yes, you feel like everything is weighing down on you, but actually it's the shift. This is the this is where the change is happening now.
Yes.
You know, so hang in there. And I remember beginning of this year, 2026, I had lunch with one of my two closest friends, you know, as a 2026 first meeting, guys, what are we doing? And I said to the girls, I was like, this is a new year for me. Oh. It's a new beginning. I'm going to take whatever that comes with this year with grace and welcome and accept it. I'm like, if it means I'm starting from the bottom, then it means I'm starting from the bottom. You know, I was like, meaning if it means you are going to play a gig in places that you had sworn that no. But these gigs keep coming. You are going to take them.
Wow.
And that time I recognized, you know, the Holy Spirit in me, you know, talking to me to say, I want you to start again. It was not easy, hey? Because our steps are, I'm not gonna play. No, no, no. You're not gonna call me and say, but gracefully I said yes to everything. And those became the doorways. The things that I've done so far, it's not even 6 months into to this new year, but I've done so much that I feel like I could go on a holiday for
it's incredible.
It is. I've done amazing things. My fire, you know, my light is back with a bang.
I love that. You know, we see it too. Don't think we
do. I feel it and I'm owning it because for the longest time, I'm very, I don't want to say apologetic, but I'm very mindful. I don't like blowing my own horn. I don't like saying, oh, but I did that. But hey, I've done that.
You did it.
You know, and now I'm owning it. If somebody says, oh, did you do? I'm like, oh, yes, I did. You know, with pride, you know, and grace also, because I believe in the how you tell your story also. You know, so I'm owning up to my story. You know, for the longest time, I wanted people to be the ones to tell my story because I felt like if you tell your story, it's like you are pompous. It's like you think you've arrived. But the truth is that you're doing what nobody else is doing. Wow. And it's okay to accept that. It's okay to talk about it. It's okay to say, and I like what I've done, you know, because it's also going to give confidence to that girl who might be thinking, but would I be received? Would I be welcomed? Would I be given a fair chance? Yes, you will be.
Oh,
you will be. Own up. Own up to who you are.
I love that. And I am particularly excited about your new project. Like, I can't wait for the world to hear you. You need a...
Yeah, the tissue.
Sorry,
this tissue is legendary. You must frame it, this one.
Yeah, no, it's getting there. But it's doing the work. It's doing the work. Yeah. Oh, man. It feels like no time has moved. So, should I just continue, Tabello?
Before we continue, how many more minutes are we going to do for this interview?
Because I think with the album.
Yeah. How much longer? Hey, there's a lot to talk about, but you guide me.
Maybe we can do like an extra 10.
Okay.
10 minutes.
Well, how? And then we close off. I haven't even.
I can't remember what album we it'll drop by the whole Nali D.
Goodness.
And
okay.
Then we'll.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So there's another song that you did. And I
from
remember.
The, is it from the album? And that time, I don't even know what the album is called, but there's a new
but
album.
It's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming. And we're excited for it. But there's a song that you did coming off the new album. And you said, when you introduced the song, you said it was inspired by Neo Muyanga.
Oh, yes. Dikgomo
tsa bohadi. And I promise you, when
I'm
I heard
really
that
excited.
Song, as you did it, as you performed that song, I texted my friend Yamkela, who was there with me. I said, this actually reminds me of the Jonas Gwangwa Home. It's definitely the new African wedding song. Let's touch a little bit on that song in itself, and you know how you know that Neo Muyanga inspiration came about.
I mean, Neo is amazing. I got to meet and work with Neo through Msaki. Shout out to Msaki.
Love it.
And when I started working with him, and I was like, guys, I don't think we understand the powerhouse that man is.
Yeah.
You know, so I do work with him, and also outside of just being in his band and doing collaborations, but also, you know, in theater, because he is a creative director. He's amazing. And this song blew my mind away when we did his music, and I was like, no, this is what I said to him. I'm like, no, I think this is my song. I think this is my hit. I said, this song is going into my album. He was like, okay, he was like, okay, cool. I was like, but I want to do it my way. I don't want to do it your way. Your way is so special, because the way he curated it, it's a little different from what you heard, because also he plays it on the guitar. Yeah. So he started differently. And I was like, I promise you, like, wow, Neo. The song is amazing. It's not even called Komuza Wahadi. Mine is
okay,
more bad.
Okay, but
so
it's
it
perfect.
Is, yes, it's inspired by that, but it's the musicality, you know, the choice of instruments that he used, and also how he sings in Sesotho as well.
Yeah, what an exceptional artist.
You know, so for me, singing in Sesotho, Setswana, or Venek, it's amazing, because now we are putting a stamp on who we are. We are introducing ourselves to the rest of the world. Yeah. We are saying we are proud, in, you know, in our languages, in our skin, and whatever that some people may call mumbo jumbo. What are you? What is that language? You know, that's treasure to me. That's my life. That's where I found my foundation.
Oh, man.
And then I played that with him, and I'm like, no, I'm so going to, I'm doing your song.
Oh, man.
You know, he's like, Tibbs, that's fine. We'll talk about it.
Yay.
And I even called him after the show, because we are doing a show together in June. So I was like, no, you're going to love this. Like, I'm so excited. So, and also that's what it is about. Music is about inspiration. You know, you listen to a song and it sparks something in you, and it just spoke volumes. And for me, it spoke of family, of love, of togetherness, you know. And it just, you know, the flow just came from just playing that groove.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Okay, what are we talking about? We're talking about love.
Yeah,
we'll explain that song when the album is out.
Okay, so we'll have you back on this podcast. Yeah. It really feels like no time has moved since we started this conversation, but I'd love to have you back on this podcast once the album is out.
Yes.
Can you tell us what's next for Aus Debza? What can we expect? I haven't even touched into you being the musical director.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But can you tell us, you know, about what's next for Ostebza? Okay. What can we expect? Actually.
So so many layers.
Mm.
I think it's obvious. I write. I direct. I facilitate.
You judge.
I judge. My goodness, I judge. But fairly so. Mm. I inspire. Mm. You know, I'm also in a couple of boards within the music fraternity. So people must expect to see Tebogo, who is going to grow in leaps and bounds. Tebogo, who's going to show more faces and layers of who she is, the inspiration behind her. Mm. I'm all for people. I'm all for greatness. I'm all for inspiration. Hmm. And I get to see that also when I'm the music director, the lengths I go to make sure that, I mean, like you said, with KB's music, I went in and stripped the music and created new music from her music. Because I was like, KB, thank you for the opportunity, but I want to take you to another level with your sound. And I did, you know, I'm patting myself on the back with that one. I did. And it just shows that when you authentically and truthfully give yourself to whatever it is that you're passionate about, you know, you get immersed in it, you get lost in it, and there's so much that can be drawn from that. And I enjoy doing that because for me, it gives me an opportunity to also go into who you are as an artist and the era that you wrote that music in as well. I'm like, oh my gosh, if I was there, I would have done it this way. Or if I was given a chance to do, I would have added this. And that has always been what I do when I'm part of productions. I mean, that was not the first one. I did the first, then the second Basari Music. I was the music director for the first and the second edition. And the third, I think, yeah.
With an all-female band.
I have curated work for Nerox with an 18-piece female band. I do these curations. Most of them would be for private clients, but I do that. But I can see that they are coming out, you know, for people to see them. That this is what I do. So I curate. I love pulling more women, you know, forth. People need to see and recognize what we do, you know, and also to say, just give us a chance. We're not saying we're not taking anybody's work or opportunity or anything like that. We just want to be given a fair chance to present and showcase who we are.
Did I not tell you that this woman is a powerhouse? Oh, Ostebza, you have been so amazing. Thank you for gifting us this conversation. I think this conversation will outlive us, definitely. Before we close, there's a question that I always ask guests of Coffee Conversations. And really, it's what sits at the core of who Tebogo is? What sits there?
Faith. My faith.
Wow.
My faith is at the core of who I am. It is what was given to me by my mother. Oh, wow. I remember she would say, girls, because we are three girls. I'm the eldest. And every night we would pray as a family. And she would say, this is where you run to when things get tough. You know, you get into your own little corner and you pray to your God. The one that I am teaching you because I know what he has done for me. So my faith is everything. I am a born-again Christian. I believe in God. I believe in Christ. I believe that God is the higher power. You know, so that is where I draw from. I draw from knowing that I am created so that I can be part of this creation.
Wow.
So that is what gives me strength also to carry on. Because we doubt ourselves. Like I said, I don't want to do this. But because I have friends that I have sisters that I have, where they go, they don't say, hey, and it's been hard. They don't say that. They're like, we understand it's hard, but you know what this means to you. Mm. You know what this gift does. You know, not only for you, but for everybody that have come across it.
Mm.
So maybe just take a little breather, you know, and come back. So I have that surrounding me.
Yeah.
It's not only about me having this faith, but it's what is surrounding me is faith, faith upon faith, grace upon grace.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you for blessing us, for healing us. You know, I don't think anyone can experience you on the bandstand, on stage, and leave feeling the same way. And you're so cool, man, doing it. Like, there's this thing that, you know, that you do, and I'm just like, she's so cool.
A lot of people would say, are you sure you're the one playing? Are you sure it's not?
Because
you look so... You look like you're not doing it, but you are doing it. I'm like, I am doing it.
Thank you. And I cannot wait for the album to drop.
We are calling it the album for now.
The album for now. But you will return on this podcast because
definitely
I will be listening to that album and I'm going to need us definitely. To unpack it.
But yeah.
Thank you for making time. Thank you for giving us such a lovely conversation. And I wish you all the very best for, you know, the rest of the year, the rest of your gigs. May you continue to, you know, to shine on that stage because that's what you do. May you continue to heal us. And thank you for watching and listening to Coffee Conversations with myself, Vivian Chwene. We are on Spotify. We are on YouTube. We are on all the podcast platforms that matter. Please do catch us on there and engage us in conversation. Until the next time, thank you. Kilima, kilima, kilinosi. Mangwanimpele, kilima, kilima, kilinosi.